Couple things. Let's start with prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning with just grateful and thankful hearts that we can come into your presence, that we can fellowship with one another, we can seek to grow closer to each other in our relationships, grow closer to you in our relationship with you. Lord, we just pray that you would just be in our midst this morning as we go forward into the coming weeks and months, as we set aside this time to seek to be built up as a body of believers, to seek to be equipped as the workers for your kingdom. And we just pray, Lord, that your presence would be known and felt, that your goodness would be proclaimed, and that we would be blessed and filled by your Spirit, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you. We pray this in our precious Savior Jesus' name. Amen. So, a couple things before we actually get going. Today will be different, okay? And just right off the bat, today will be different. Next week will be a little bit closer to what the model will typically be. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be into our normal model where we'll start. And at this point, as I look around the room, probably 2 or 3 groups, actually, of adults where we'll split up. And so, not next week, but folks, but 2 weeks from today, we'll start where you'll come in for this, the 15 minutes, 9:15 to 10:30, 9:15 to 9:30, get that right, where you'll come in and you'll just sit in your, like, designated area, and we'll have to coordinate that as you come in. And that'll be who you fellowship with. That'll be who you're drinking coffee with. I'm going to really encourage to be sharing prayer requests. I'm going to really be encouraging to spend time with each other, not just here on Sunday morning, but also maybe set aside some time through the week or through the course of the 3 months that you're together, and maybe have a meal together outside of that, or a meal once a month, or whatever it might be. We'll talk more about that as time goes on. But today, I'm gonna talk more than I want to talk, so that we can try to get ourselves kind of on the right footing for what we're doing here in this discipleship hour. You are welcome to raise your hand and ask questions, but I don't actually have, like, set up questions for us to be discussing. We'll have that next week. This week I'm going to talk a little bit, and I'll ask for your feedback. Just the nature of getting started on something, we need to do that. Okay, that's out of the way. Next, I said when we did our vision statement, or our vision meeting, that we would likely start by talking about some doctrines. I've changed my mind on that and said, let's instead take a step back and get our feet on solid ground first, and then we can start to talk about some of the more important things, or more maybe heady things or whatever, like things like doctrines and how do we evangelize and those kind of questions. And we need to talk about why we're actually doing this. I said a couple weeks ago when we had that meeting that the starting point was that we needed to figure out some way to better serve our children, to better serve our volunteer base, and all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of kicked this off, right? But the more we developed it, the more we talked about it, the more we said, you know what, this opportunity for us is going to be, there's going to be huge benefits for us to be able to disciple each other, to grow closer together, and to do all that. And as we've gotten closer to it, the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm like, okay, well, maybe we need to start by first saying what is a disciple, right? Why is it that we here at Christ Church, or we in the church, even want to be discipled, okay? So, we are not studying this book, but we are going to be touching base on a lot of the points that Mark Deaver, however you say it, touches in this book. And so I will encourage you, if you would like a copy, we only have 10. So if you're a husband and wife, please just take one. If you would like another one, we'll order some more. But if you would like one of these to read along over the next couple weeks, this is a good little kind of starting point for this. You can come up and get one, or anybody just want me to hand them out to you right now? Anybody? I'll just step down and you grab them at your leisure. It's a short book. It's an easy book to read, but it has a lot of good foundational things. It is talking primarily about what we're going to call the three of our model, and that'll make sense in just a minute. So you can grab one of those if you want. The other thing that I'm going to be encouraging is we've had these for a long time, and we pushed them for a little while, and then we stopped pushing them for a little while, and now I'm going to push them again. So our children are going through what's called the Gospel Project curriculum. This is a good curriculum that over the course of 3 years, we cover the whole of Scripture, start to finish, the whole of Scripture, not every verse, but the whole Bible is covered through this. This is the current volume that we're in, and this is the adult version of that. We aren't studying it here, but it's a great resource that if you want to know what is happening with your kids and what weeks they're doing it, you can just go and follow along and study. It's a 5-day, basically daily devotional. It's a great resource. We always have a bunch of copies of it, so if you would like to grab one of those, you can also grab one of those. Whenever you look at our announcement slides, the week that we're on is always displayed. So if you're ever like, oh, I don't know what week we're on, you can just look at that or look at the actual date that's in here. I want to make sure, yeah. So today is April the 16th. So we're unit 20, session 1 is this week's. So there's that. One last plug. Sorry, we don't want to always plug. This Friday, we're doing Secret Church here at Christ Church. I'll talk more about this at the end of the sermon today. Throw that on the ground. It is an intense Bible study kind of revolving around the idea of the persecuted church in areas of the world where the church has to meet in secret. And so it's 6 hours. It's 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. Friday to Saturday morning. I've announced it a couple times, or I've posted it a couple times. Yes, I know that it's a lot, but I think that it's going to be something of a blessing. There's a handful of people who are signed up to come to this, but this is the curriculum that we're going to go through. We're going to study through the book of Jonah. I'm really excited about it, and even if there's only a handful of us, I think it's going to be good. But I want to invite you to that too, this coming Friday at 7. What is a disciple? Actually, let me just ask that as a question. What is a disciple? Say again?
A learner.
A learner, okay? Yeah?
Apprentice.
An apprentice? Is that what you said?
Follower.
In the case of the ancient world, in particular the New Testament, but we see it in the Old Testament, a disciple is somebody who is a follower, an apprentice, a learner, who quite literally leaves whatever they're doing and goes and follows, lives with another person. With Jesus, excuse me, with Jesus, we see the 12, and they're set aside as a particular even subset of disciples that's even distinguished from the disciples. But the 12 apostles are set aside for a particular task. We see actually that Jesus has many more than the 12 apostles. There's many more disciples than the 12 apostles. But we see this actually with a bunch of different characters in the scriptures. We see it actually with Jeremiah and Baruch. And we see it in there's some evidence in the book of Isaiah and in various of the prophets. We see this kind of characteristic of a person who's like, I want to learn from this person. A great modern equivalent would be somebody who would apprentice themselves to a trade. Say if I'm an electrician, or if I want to become an electrician, I might go to an electrical company and go, hey, I want to be an apprentice, and so I'm going to learn from you. I'm going to kind of give myself over to the learning of the trade or the learning of the thing, whatever. And this is very common in the ancient world. But the idea of it is basically, I want to be filled by all of the knowledge, all of the understanding that you have. I had a mentor back in when I was at Northside named Sean. Some of you know who he is. Sean Holman. And he always, he talked from a model that I'm only referencing it today. I'm not going to necessarily teach from it. But he taught that Jesus had basically three different types of methods to teach, methods of discipling. He and Sean called it the 3-9-M. Okay, M being the masses. So Jesus would teach to the masses of people. And this is a method of discipleship, right? This is a method of teaching. It's a method of learning. So you might come into the presence of a church, come into a church, listen to a sermon. You might go to a lecture, listen to a teacher lecture in a fashion. But today, that's largely what we're doing. So we're listening to kind of this idea. So whenever I preach, I'm teaching to the masses. And that means that I'm sacrificing a couple things in doing this. I know that there's 70-odd people in the sanctuary, and I know that there's both people who have been in church maybe one or two times to people who have been in church their whole entire life, every Sunday, never missed, right? And that spectrum of people means that I have to think more broadly. So when Jesus is teaching, he teaches through parables, he teaches through, say, like the Sermon on the Mount or different things like that. But as you look at when Jesus teaches to the masses, we're not going to look at examples of this, but you can go into the scriptures, look at the book in the Gospels. You find that Jesus is, when he's teaching to the masses, he doesn't ever really get specific. Then, from that point forward, let's take the parables as a great example of this, as how we can kind of see this sort of parsed out through his teaching stuff. So Jesus teaches the parables. If we look at Mark chapter 4, you can. If you have your Bibles, we're not actually going to read it. If you would look at Mark chapter 4, Jesus teaches the parable of the sowers. And in the parable of the sowers, he sort of expresses this idea that while he is going to teach and while you are going to go out, right, he's teaching his disciples. If you go and you spread the seed, right, that's in essence what I do every week whenever I preach. Just I go out and I take the seed that is the word and I just go like that and I spread it out to everybody. But there is a realization that when I go spread it out to everybody, some people it's going to take root. Some people, it's going to be choked out by thorns. Some people are going to be distracted. Some, right? And so that is something that I am willing to do in what I feel is part of my call as a pastor, part of my call as a preacher, is to just spread the seed to anyone and everyone who would be willing to listen. But Jesus then teaches from the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4 that you have this sort of understanding that there's going to be these people who don't receive, but that doesn't mean don't spread the seed. A lot of times in churches, particularly in churches today, we go, okay, well, we want to be very specific in our preaching style or in who we're trying to reach, and we're going, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just get this group of people and I'm going to spread the seed. We think by doing this, we're actually spreading it to people who are more ripe for whatever, and it ends up not working because everybody is kind of in their own place. From there, though, so Jesus teaches the parable of the sowers, but he teaches the parable of the sowers to everybody. Right? This is a sermon that he preaches to everybody. And then he goes in with the disciples, the 12, following. If you look at this, and I will read this. He was speaking the word to them with many parables like these. This is chapter 4, Mark 4, verse 33. He was speaking the word to them with many parables like these as they were able to understand. He did not speak to them without a parable. Privately, however, he explained everything to his disciples. And so actually what then Jesus goes on to do, or kind of in this kind of surrounding area with the parable of the sower, Jesus teaches that I'm going to give you these parables. I'm going to give you parables to everybody. But those who want to come deeper, I will explain more. And so the 9 and the 3, so we have the M is the masses. The 9 and the 3 are the 12. They're the 12 apostles, okay? And the 12 apostles are split into a lot of ways into two groups. You have Peter, James, and John. Those are the 3. And then you have the other 9. Now, Jesus teaches the parables to all of them. Jesus, thank you. Jesus teaches the parables to all 12 of the disciples. That's what we want this to be. Okay? So, Sunday morning worship service is the masses. Okay? I'm going to preach. I'm going to teach a message from the scriptures. It's going to land in some people's hearts. It's going to grow in some people's hearts. It's not going to grow in other people's hearts. And the next week it might be completely different because things. This is your time, your opportunity, our opportunity to go, you know what? We want to grow a little bit deeper. If I were to perhaps lodge a criticism to Christchurch. I would say that there are many things in many of us who fall into this category, and I would say, including myself, where we might be eating solid food in some areas, but we're drinking spiritual milk in others. Many of us don't really know what it means to live a life as a follower of Jesus. And I think in large part, that's because we don't have this model within our church of going, hey, we want to grow together as followers of Jesus. I've been saying this a lot. I'll say it again in my sermon this morning. We do not come into a relationship with Jesus by somebody giving us a Bible. We don't come into a relationship with Jesus because you came in and you listened to a sermon or two. You come into a relationship with Jesus by being introduced to Jesus by followers of Jesus. That is the model that's set up. I will say, I will always make this argument because, and I know that it's partially because I am a preacher, but there is a biblical mandate to preach the word, okay? From Moses all the way through the New Testament, there is a biblical mandate to preach the Word of God, to read the Word of God out loud, to preach the Word of God. There's also a very strong biblical mandate to be going, hey, I am here on my journey, and I'm going to go there, and I see Max is a little bit further along, and so I'm going to come to Max and go, hey, Max, how did you do this? What do you do? How do I go deeper? How do I grow more and more? There's another aspect to this that we kind of, and I need to just hold this Bible, but it's so big and heavy. There's another aspect to this that gets challenging, right? We read in, let me just read a couple of verses to you. These are all verses that sort of pertain to discipleship in general. It says, but you, dear friends, this is Jude, verse 20. You, dear friends, as you build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. Have mercy on those who waver, save others by snatching them from the fire, and have mercy on others with fear, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. And turn forward to Peter. You're right. Silence. There's actually a different series introduction in my version of this book than that. So I have a reason for being lost there. Sorry. 1 Peter 4:10 says, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. And then the last one is in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, and this is going to be the resounding repeated refrain of our time as in discipleship hour. Ephesians chapter 4. And he himself gave some, verse 11, Ephesians 4:11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, to build up the body of the church of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. For from him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for the building up for building it up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. So we gather together, right? We gather together. Here's what a lot of these verses mean. Okay? We want to go from just being encouraged in the M category, right? Go just being encouraged and sent out to do the work by hearing a sermon brief. I think that there is value. I think that there's goodness to that. I think that we can at times be better at what we're doing with the sermons, but that's a different subject altogether. I want us to get to the point where I take the concepts that we find in this book. This is largely that Peter, James, and John model. Okay? I can't actually have a discipling relationship with every person that comes into this church as the pastor. There's 130-ish people who come on a regular basis. I don't have enough time in my day, let alone if I neglect all other things. I don't have enough time, even if that's the case, right? And so we have to start recognizing that Ryan is not the only person with something to offer, right? And nor do I think that that's really ever what anybody thinks. But I have gifts in, say, teaching and preaching. But I don't have gifts in prayer. I don't have gifts in, even at times, say, like compassion or other things like that, which are gifts, and maybe I have more compassion than I think, but there are gifts that are in this room that are not Ryan's gifts, that actually Ryan lacks in. And what we find in this is that I actually want to be encouraged. I want to encourage others. And so I want to find people in my life who maybe fit with my schedule, and that's what Mark Dever is talking about here in his book, like fit with my schedule, and I'm gonna invite them in to live life right with me. So Peter, James, and John, not only did they hear Jesus go, okay, here's what the parable of the sowers means, right? All 12 apostles, that's what they hear. They get the in-depth understanding, the knowledge given in particular, not just to the masses, but this extra bit of teaching. But Peter, James, and John are where? They're with Jesus at the Transfiguration. They're with Jesus in the final hours of his life when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. They're with Jesus, or John is at least, at the foot of the cross, literally as Jesus is suffering and dying on the cross. That's where Peter, James, and John are, because Jesus invited them in to be very close and very intimate. And that relationship is deeper than what this is. So here, we're going, okay, let's grow a little bit closer together, but let's also start to use our own gifts to encourage one another, to be built up and strengthened. I've said this a couple times in our Wednesday evening prayer meeting, which actually is going to stop through the summer, but in our Wednesday evening prayer meeting, I've been continuously encouraged by Rob's heart for prayer. And that has drawn me in to a deeper relationship with the Lord in my prayer life. Because I've gone, you know what? It's an area of my life that it's not my gift. It's not my particular area of whatever. It's not my gift. And so to sit with Rob and to hear his heart for prayer, to hear his growth in that area encourages me, encourages the other people who have been a part of that group. That's what we want to happen here. Now we'll do so through some guided principles or whatever, but that's what we're hearing in all these places. Because the church's job is verse 12. Verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 4. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. In the exact same vein that I say, hey, we want to be, this is not an evangelical sermon church, right? Where you come into the church and you're like, we're bringing a bunch of people who've never heard the story of Jesus, and if they hear one sermon of Ryan, they're gonna know the path to Jesus. I hope that happens, but that's not what the point of my sermons are. The point of my sermons is to actually equip you to do the work, because it's not my sermons that do the work. It's the Spirit of God that does the work. It's us that are tasked with it. It's us not in the building, but us out in the world. We are sent out to be amidst the people who are lost, to go find them, to bring them in, and then to equip them, right? Obviously, the one most important verse for making disciples is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Each and every person who confesses Christ as Savior is a disciple maker. You're called by God to equip other people for the work of the ministry, to introduce them to Jesus, to show them the character of Christ, to call them out of their old life in death into a new life in Christ, into a new life, living life in Christ. And once we bring them in, then we go, okay, now let's grow. Let's grow together. Let's grow outward. Let's spread this good news, because it's great news. It is great news. But by myself, man, I am woefully overprepared. I am incredibly overprepared for the task of sharing the news to everybody around. I need the compassionate heart. I need the prayerful heart. I need the heart that goes, hey, let's not shy away from this challenging belief. I need those things, and those are the things that each and every one of you has. And so this is why we're going to then, over the next couple weeks, we'll see how next week goes and see what our numbers are like. But we'll basically go, Max and I will go, hey, we're going to just split you up into these smaller groups, because that's where deeper discussion can happen. Not that I don't think that there's very many people who would go, "Oh, I'm not going to share in this room." But we want you to live this life together, closer together than we have now. In a lot of ways, and I'm being a little bit critical here, but in a lot of ways, we find that this place is just a thing that I do through the week. This is an activity that I participate in once a week, when what we're actually called to is a family that we are going through the life of in this world together, right? Where we can be encouraged by each other, we can be counseled by each other. Absolutely, when we get into smaller accountability partner type relationships where we're close with a person, we're challenging each other on our sinfulness and all these things, like, that's often what we think about when we think about accountability partners. Oh, that person's going to call me out on my sin. Actually, I think what the scriptures teach us is that they're going to show us, what are my gifts? And if I would ask that question right now, like legitimately, if I would ask that question, I want you to think about it. I don't necessarily answer the question, but what are your gifts? Do you know? Do you know what God, because he has gifted you in some area, not just in some random area that's just good for you, but actually an area where you can serve the body of believers, that you will be one of the ligaments that is necessary, not just good, but necessary for the function of the church. And so I look at this, and I'm pleased, right? I'm happy that we have as many here. I would love for this service to be the same amount of people, right? I would love that. But there's reality that's not going to be the case, right? This is going to be people who are, you are going to be the ones who are coming in here and going, hey, I want to grow deeper into my relationship with Jesus. You're already there and you want a little bit more. You're coming to Jesus and you're going, hey, you told that parable about the sower? I don't really get it. Can you explain it deeper? And that's what I hope to answer that question. That's what happened next time. All right, I'm done talking. Talk too long. Questions. We got 15 minutes. I told you that normally how we'll do this is the morning speaker, which will not always be me, by the way. Most of the time it will not be me. The morning speaker will speak for like 15 to 20 minutes, and then we'll have specific questions already generated. And then we'll split up. Or no, we'll already be split. You'll be sitting in your groups. That's what our hope is. So again, say that there's three groups. We'll have one group kind of in each corner, and you'll just sit there. So next week we'll be kind of a big group again, just to get a better feel for how many people are going to be here. And then we'll split you up But once we start splitting up, you'll be in your specific groups. Those will be your groups until we transition. Do you know what week that is, Wes?
We have a summer quarter, so it could be 1st of June.
1st of June. Yep. So May 28th will be the last week of the first setup of discipleship groups. Okay? And then we'll mix everybody up again, and we'll go through the summer, and that will be your group. Okay? We've done this for a couple reasons. We want to do that. We want to be able to be kind to the people who are serving now, who would then participate in discipleship hour when they're not serving as teachers. And when that happens, there's just enough transition that it'll just be easier. But it also gives us an opportunity to go, I'm not just concerned about 5 or 6 people within the church. I want to actually get to know everybody. And so we'll mix you up for the purpose of going, okay, let's get to know all of the people in the church. We are sacrificing that really close, intimate relationship that maybe is the place where you share your deepest, darkest secrets. You're probably not sharing your deepest, darkest secrets at discipleship hour anyway. What we're going to continue to encourage is perhaps you find that person in the discipleship group and you go, hey, Max, can you and I get together for coffee sometime? Right? And one of the most important things, I said that I was done talking. You all knew that was false. Chris called me on that. One of the things that is absolutely, without a doubt, more important than anything else. In order for this to work, we have to come into this place with the expectation of being a little bit vulnerable. Okay? When Jesus at the Last Supper comes in, and none of the disciples, they all thought they were too good for it, and there was no servants, whatever. Jesus comes in and starts to wash the feet of the disciples, right? And Jesus, and I've referenced this a lot in the last year, but it's okay. Jesus gets to Peter, and Peter's like, I'm not going to let you, Lord, you are not allowed to wash my feet. And Jesus says something that only until this last year I never noticed it before. Jesus says, if you do not let me wash your feet, you have no part in me. And that struck a bell in my heart that is never struck before. Jesus is telling Peter, if you are unwilling to put yourself into a position of vulnerability, is anybody in here willing to let me wash your feet right now? Right? It's uncomfortable. It's odd. And that was a culture that did it, yes, but it's strange for us, right? It'd be very odd for us because it's not something that we do, but there's a vulnerability that happens when you go, yeah, my feet kind of stink. And kind of smelly, sweaty feet. And that's what's happening. That's what Jesus is telling people. That's what Jesus is telling us as disciples. If you are unwilling to put yourself out and to be a little bit vulnerable, you're probably not going to grow. You're probably, actually, if we were to take Jesus' words seriously, you're probably not a part of his church. You're not a part of his body. You're out somewhere outside. Now, does that mean you're unsaved? I don't think so. But you're not going to reap the benefits. And so if we're just going to come in here and we're just going to gather together and it's just going to be a thing that we do and it's just a time waster, then you might as well not come. But if you're going to come and you're going to go, hey, I'm going to participate in this. I'm going to pray for those 8, 10, 12 people that are in my discipleship group in the month. I'm going to purpose to get together with them and to get to know them and to show them my gifts and to see their gifts and to encourage and to build each other up. If we're not willing to do that, then this is just going to be another thing that we do. And so we do need to be vulnerable. We need to be willing to do this, even if it's not, even if